The Bob McCowan Podcast brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers online casino and sportsbook app today. McCowan here, Shannon there. Another week, and it's a week of baseball talk, I imagine. We'll have a lot of it this week as the winter meetings commence. It's funny because when I first got into baseball in the late 70s professionally, and we had the winter meetings in Toronto, I think, 77 or 78, I can't remember which. I remember going to it. At that point in time, virtually every deal that was done during the offseason was done at the winter meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And most recently, there's been hardly any action at the winter meetings. It all comes either before or after. And yet people are talking about the winter meetings this year as being a big event.
The other issue is now that this is the second group of meetings since World Series, because there was meetings in Vegas, 3 weeks ago, and now the official winter meetings in San Diego. So baseball is trying to create news, which they do a very good job of. And that's exactly what we're going to see this week. And it'll be, interesting to see what lots of these teams do with a lot of free agents still out there ready to go and a few guys that are expected to be traded.
The economics being what they are, I think a lot of people are waiting. A lot of teams are waiting for the first shoe to drop. And I don't think DeGrom is that shoe. So
I think that was just a pure surprise.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about the money that was involved in that.
And I think it scares all the other GMs. $37 million.
and owners.
You bet. We're going to talk about it, baseball and a lot of Blue Jays stuff and maybe a little Fred McGriff and Mattingly, and a lot of things have happened since we last talked baseball. And Dave Hodge will join us when we come back in a minute. Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the BetRivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP, because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com. Been a long time since the baseball season concluded, and yet baseball kind of continues 12 months a year. The winter meetings are now underway, and it is expected that there will be activity at these winter meetings. There has been very little until this point as far as trades, free agent signings, etc. McCowan and Shannon with Dave Hodge, who's with us. Are you anticipating a busy winter meetings, or do you have any idea?
Well, others are, so I will say the same thing. We're waiting for, the big announcement. Aaron Judge, Justin Verlander, Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts. I mean, there are big, big names out there. And already, though there hasn't been a lot of activity, the two major moves, I think, are most interesting, and that's Jose Abreu to Houston, making the Astros stronger, as if they need to be stronger. And the Jacob DeGrom contract in Texas, our eyebrows raised the same as they did when the Rangers signed Seager and Semien, although we said at the time they needed pitching, and now they got pitching. They just need to keep him on the mound. In the last 2 years, Jacob DeGrom has been on the injured list more than he has been on the Mets' active roster. So 5 years at $185 million for a guy whose arm and shoulder can present problems.
Does that set the DeGrom signing his contract? Does that set a new standard, a new bar, if you will?
I don't keep track of, just when they get to a certain point, I say they're making a lot of money, too much money. I don't know if this is a record, but, 5 years for, well, do the math, 5 years at $185 million, that's a lot of money. Now, let's wait and see what Aaron Judge gets, and let's wait and see what Verlander gets. I know Verlander isn't looking for that much money, but he's not going to get 5 years, nor does he want 5 years. So if Verlander gets 3 years at 140,
wow,
that's crazy.
I'm amazed at that, because I, for some reason, I had in the back of my mind that Verlander would be one of those guys now, David, that goes year by year. You know, but that's too logical, I guess.
If you get him to do that, yeah, that'd be great. But no, he's going to get 3 years from somebody, and you keep hearing that the Blue Jays are one of the teams that are very interested in Justin Verlander. Well, they'd be competing at least with the New York Mets, who, you know, need to replace Jacob DeGrom and others. So are the Jays ready to give Verlander 3 years at that much money and basically then say they're done, because I don't think they could do anything more than that? But if they're out of the running for Verlander, then, you know, there are moves that they can and will or should make. So it's a question of, you know, do you throw all the money at one pitcher who can, you know, give you Verlander, Manoa, Gausman, Barrios with a question mark, and somebody else with a question mark? Some would suggest that Verlander, Manoa, and Gausman could be the best 1-2-3 in the majors if they're all at their best. And that's the argument for the Jays to say, let's go for it that way. But I don't think, even if they wanted to do that, I'm not sure that they would be able to sign Verlander.
Verlander is of an age where you start to worry about that, do you not?
Yeah, except that if anybody was worried last year, you know, he won the Cy Young and he finally got over the hump in the postseason and won a World Series game. I think he gives up too many homers, but nobody minds, because they're often solo homers because he doesn't have that many guys on base. But he's not going to get better. He's not going to get healthier. So yeah, the clock is ticking, and what if you get 1 year out of him and he does well, but it's not his best year ever. And then that's it. Second and third year, you're paying for a guy who's hurt or a guy who is not what Justin Verlander used to be. I think it's a big risk for the Jays, and I think it's not a necessity for the Jays. I do think it comes down to that for the Mets. And, you know, especially if Judge leaves New York and the Mets are sitting there without DeGrom and can say, well, we made the big move by signing Justin Verlander. So, I mean, the Mets aren't the only team that is talking to him. And he's going to do well. He's going to do well somewhere. And he says he's interested in, you know, when anybody says, how about Toronto? He says, yes, he'd be very interested, would like to play for the Blue Jays. Well, why would he say anything else?
Of course.
I mean, what do you think? Does it make any sense?
Doesn't to me. I don't see paying that kind of money, because you're talking something in the neighborhood of $35 to $40 million. DeGrom got $37
million
to sign a year. And there are very, very few players of that caliber economically in baseball today. Maybe DeGrom is one of them. I don't know. I know that pitchers get a lot of money. But what is Judge going to get now? I mean, we were talking maybe he gets 40, but that seems a guarantee now, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like he gets whatever he wants. I mean, it's, you know, the Yankees weren't going to pay beyond a certain figure. And now it looks like they're ready to do whatever it takes to keep him. He has eyes on San Francisco, and the Giants can spend money. It's going to be one or the other, I think. I don't think there's any any other third team unless it's the Dodgers, because you always say, well, you can't rule out the Dodgers, but it looks like Judge to the Giants, or he stays in New York. I mean, the Yankees haven't been in a World Series, never mind winning a World Series. They haven't been in a World Series in 13 years. And it doesn't look good if they let a guy who hit 62 home runs and broke a record leave town. I'm waiting. If he does leave, I'm waiting for the headline that says, Yankees in search of a new leadoff. I mean, that's because he batted first in the order and hit 62 home runs and drove in 131 and leadoff guy. Like, did we ever think when we watched baseball when we were younger that you'd put your slugger in the leadoff spot? I didn't.
Well, no, but the theory at least works for me that you get more at-bats. You know, maybe it's 10 more at-bats.
He does walk a lot. So
yeah.
You want to pitch around him, you're putting the leadoff guy on, at least in the first inning. It works for, you know, it worked for Schwarber in Philadelphia. We hit a pile of home runs. Springer, a more prototypical leadoff guy because he can run fast, and but he doesn't, you know, Jays don't steal a lot anyway. But no, it's come to Julio Rodriguez again with great speed, but he leads off for Seattle. So a lot of teams do put their best hitter, their biggest slugger in the leadoff spot. I guess it must make some sense. And if he's not in the one spot, he is, like the Blue Jays use Guerrero for a lot of the season, in the two spot. Mm-hmm. It used to be, I used to think your best hitter hit third and your big slugger hit fourth.
After the first inning, if the bottom of your order is successful, then what does it matter?
Well, that's a big
in the end.
I mean, yeah, if you've got seven, eight, nine who can get on base, then your leadoff guy comes up sooner and drives him in. But how many teams are equipped with guys at the bottom of the order who are that good? I don't know. I don't think the Yankees were last year. But because Judge, for 62 home runs, he was tied for the major league lead in RBIs with Pete Alonso of the Mets, who hit 40 home runs.
Right.
So there's a 22 home run difference and no difference in RBIs. Anyway, we'll see what Judge will get. You know, he's going to get more than $300 million. And the Yankees are going to either celebrate the fact that he's still a Yankee, or they're going to have to explain why he isn't.
Well, it's a guessing game as to where everybody lines up. But my bet on Verlander is the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers need a starting pitcher more than they need a right fielder. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Judge going to the Dodgers. And who knows, maybe that happens. But I think the Dodgers want a pitcher right now. And Verlander is the best of the bunch of the free agents.
Yeah, well, as I say, there's a bunch of teams that'll be interested in Verlander, even at that price. But we're talking about the Jays on the periphery of Verlander talks. Let's put it that way. What do they need? Obviously, they need a starting pitcher. How do they get one? And we're back to our discussion about trading a catcher. And I think what the Jays are waiting for, what everybody's waiting for, is the Sean Murphy trade. Oakland has Sean Murphy, who is more valuable than, I'm going to suggest, more valuable than any of the three Blue Jays catchers. And once Murphy gets traded, then a team needing a catcher comes off the board, and all the other teams looking for catchers, and there's plenty, are going to be at Toronto's doorstep, I would think. So first Sean Murphy gets traded, and then the Jays decide which, if any, of their three catchers they want to deal and what they get for them.
Yeah.
Well, who's at the top of your list of those three?
Well, we've had this discussion before, and as I recall, each of us took a different guy. I would, not to say he brings you the most, but I would try to shop Danny Jansen because I think there are teams that would consider Jansen probably more valuable than the Blue Jays do. And if I'm the Jays, I don't want to trade Kirk or Moreno. So that's the position I would take.
The question with Moreno now becomes, do they try and convert him to at least a part-time everyday player? Maybe put him in the outfield, put him in right field on the days he's not catching. What do you think?
Well, I think he's capable of moving around the diamond. Second base has been mentioned, not as a permanent second baseman, but he could. I think he could do that. He's got speed. I thought we'd see more of him in the major leagues last year. I thought they could make more use of him while he was in uniform. When he batted over 300 in Buffalo, he did everything he was supposed to do there. But it seems to me that other catchers, other prospects, are now considered higher than Moreno. I don't know why, but maybe other teams didn't see enough of him, like I didn't see enough of him. Mm-hmm. But if he's still as valuable as the Jays have been saying for a couple of years, then I don't think you want to trade him. It's a hard spot to fill. And that's why they're in a position that they are, where they got three catchers and are going to be able to make a good trade, should be able to make a good trade for one of them. And the question is, which one? It is a possibility that the Jays decide they're going to keep all three. And you can do a lot with three guys on the roster. You can, you know, DH a catcher every day and still have one on the bench. I don't mind that. But if you can't get what you need elsewhere unless you trade a catcher, then you have to trade a catcher.
The thing I have with Kirk, I was going to say a problem I have with Kirk, but it's really not a problem, is that you're keeping him as a hitter more than you are as a catcher. Because the truth of the matter is that Kirk is not going to catch every day and probably can't catch every day. Or two out of three.
Hey, Bob, can anybody anymore? Does anybody?
You're hoping that your starting catcher
140 games. A guy catching 140 games are done. That's
no,
not
I know, but 120 should be able to catch 120 if you're going to be a starting catcher. Mm-hmm. I think a guy like Moreno could do that. I think Jansen could do that, but Kirk can't.
Well, they've demonstrated Kirk, that. You know, the way they've used Kirk so far is the way they'll continue to use him. You know, he'll catch a certain number of games, and if DH a certain number of games.
Right, exactly.
And he is, or was last year, however you rate them, one of their best hitters. And they've already traded one of their best hitters in Teoscar Hernandez. So I'm reluctant to say, okay, the Jays go into 2023 and they don't have Teoscar Hernandez and they don't have Alejandro Kirk. Now, they might have replacements for both that make the departures of those players meaningless. But right now, I'm not happy to take another one of my best hitters off my roster. So that's why. Now, if Danny Jansen produces no interest, I'd be surprised. But if you couldn't trade him, but you could trade easily either of the other two, then I guess you got to trade one of the other two. But both of them for what they do. And I like the combination of, obviously, the hitting ability of both, but the versatility of Moreno and the speed of Moreno. And to say nothing against Danny Jansen, who's a capable major league catcher. And that's the point I'm trying to make, that a lot of teams don't have that and would like to have that. I don't know what the price would be. I don't know what you'd get for him. You'd have to find out.
So, but isn't it all predicated on being able to answer the question of how close this team is to being quote unquote a championship team? I was going to say playoff team, but we know it's a playoff team in theory, but it's not better than Seattle. Seattle beat them. It's not better than Houston. So those are the bars you have to create. And I would assume that in any changes they make, they're going to try to be the best team in the American League.
East. I would say that the goal is to finish first in the American League East, assume that the Yankees aren't going to do what they did last year, and especially if they don't have Judge, and assume that, Tampa Bay can't keep, doing it with mirrors forever. And the Jays, if they have the lineup that that they want and can fill these holes that we're talking about, then there's no reason that they should not look at first place in the American League East. Now, you want to be better than Houston. It's hard to do in the offseason. Let's put it that way. You'd like to get to the point where you're playing them in a 7-game series. And at that point, you got a chance to beat them. But the Astros just keep getting better with Abreu and with the pitching that they showed last year. I don't know how you say we can be better than Houston, but they can try and be better than everybody else over 162 games in the American League. I don't see why they wouldn't be saying that as their stated goal. But another pitcher or two, and a left-handed bat. I mean, this team is so right-handed now that Kevin Biggio is your left-handed bat. Well, it would help if you had a better one.
Do you have any interest in Cody Bellinger?
Boy, that's a you have to assume that he can learn to hit again, basically. Because, he was terrible last year. But he has been great in the past. He is exactly what you need. You can put him in center field, he's got speed, and if he does learn to hit again, he hit a lot of home runs. Brian Reynolds' name has been mentioned by every team wants to trade out of Pittsburgh, and he's a switch hitting guy who can play the outfield and is exactly what the Jays would like. But every team that needs an outfielder is interested in Brian Reynolds, and the Pirates are apparently asking for a whole lot and aren't even guaranteed to trade him at all. He can want to trade, but they don't have to trade him. So there's other outfielders there. Brandon Nimmo is the other one, he's going to cost a lot. But with Nimmo, you're probably competing with a couple of the teams that we're talking about. Tampa Bay, I think, would like him. I think Seattle is interested in Nimmo. And the Mets don't want to lose him if they don't have to. But he's going to cost plenty. So there are outfielders there. We haven't mentioned other pitchers if Verlander is not coming to Toronto. And Carlos Rodon would be the next in line. Still going to cost a lot of money. But there you've got the Yankees. You have the Mets. Both New York teams are going to try hard for him. And Texas realizes, I think, that Jacob DeGrom is not, their answer to their pitching problems isn't Jacob DeGrom. They got to get others. And I think they're ready to pay a lot of money for Rodon, too. Because once you've spent all this money on Seager and Semien and DeGrom, you've got to keep spending because the rest of your team is lousy.
and let's face it, we talk about the Mets and the Yankees competing. There has to be some level of competition between Dallas and Houston, right? So the Rangers are competing with the Astros as much as anything.
Well, the Rangers have determined that they don't want to be as bad as they've been. And, they've fired people, they've hired people, they've spent all this money. But you know, last year their pitching was bad, their fielding was bad, and their hitting was, you know, below average, even with Seager and Semien. They got to hope that those two revert to form and are as good as their contracts say they should be. But you know, Texas is off the radar for the Jays. I mean, the Jays are looking at Boston, the Red Sox coming apart, really. If Bogaerts doesn't resign in Boston, then first of all, you know, the Boston media is going to go crazy at the fans. JD Martinez, fine. You know, he's not what he was. But they got a lot of things to fix there. And if they don't have Bogaerts, it looks bad for them. Probably looks worse for them losing Bogaerts than it would the Yankees losing Judge. And if the Yankees don't have Judge and the Yankees are a question mark and Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay, the only team we haven't mentioned is Baltimore.
And they're a comer.
Well, and the question would be, have the Orioles decided amongst themselves that their improvement last year warrants them spending money like they haven't spent?
Right.
Are they in the mix for anybody who would be considered a star? Because while they did get a lot better last year, they still didn't make the playoffs. And they have prospects and they should get better for being better last year, just for not feeling like they're the Baltimore Orioles, the worst thing in the majors. But they might decide to spend some money, and so you keep an eye on them. But otherwise, if the Jays don't drop the ball, as it were, between now and the start of the season, why wouldn't you pick them to win the division?
Well, I think you probably would. Listen, we've got to take a break. We'll come back with Dave Hodge in a minute.
And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. These days, more athletes are speaking out about the importance of mental health. But you don't have to be in the pros to take care of your mental well-being and being focused and in the zone. Therapy is the best way to stay in peak mental shape. We've all seen firsthand the benefits of unloading the stress, of working through the emotional healing and dealing with anxiety and depression. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, and online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time. When you're ready to feel at the top of your game, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bobcast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Bobcast.
We are back. McCallum, Shannon, and Dave Hodges with us today as we talk.
I want to answer that question that Hodge asked.
Which was?
Why I wouldn't pick them for the division.
You wouldn't?
I'm twixt in between on that. Simply because I actually have more confidence in Tampa being consistent than I do the Jays being consistent. And I still want to know what Berríos is going to be like on the mound. I want to know who's going to be in center field. I actually still want to know who's going to be at second base. Mm-hmm. So those are the three things for me that the Jays have to answer in order to feel confident, as we were a year ago when everybody said this team is going to be the cream of the crop in the American League East, and they weren't. Now, the Yankees got off to one of the greatest starts in the history of baseball. But, you know, the Jays, for all the expectation 12 months ago, the Jays underachieved last year. And there's no reason to suggest that things are going to turn enough to think that they are going to be at that level this year, I don't think.
Well, we know that they're willing to spend money. They're going to go over the luxury tax threshold, which they have, I don't believe, ever done. So, you know, they're in effect building a new stadium, and they're going to want to show it off with a a championship team, contending team. At some point. So I think, you know, you wait and see and assume that their team will be, on paper, will look strong enough to win the division, because I don't think they have much to beat if we're looking at the other teams on paper now. So, you know, who gets better in the next few months, that's going to determine who the favorite is. But right now, I think what the Jays have on their roster, on their payroll, and what they are intending to do to fix what they need to fix, I think they look to me like they should be favored. Let's put it this way: if we're not favoring them, then we're criticizing them for what they haven't done over the winter.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have to wait through these meetings to figure, because one would assume there something's going to happen with the catchers at the meetings in San Diego, right? One would assume that.
As I say, all indications are that Sean Murphy is soon to be traded, and probably sure. to Cleveland. So then you start saying, well, who needs a catcher? And St. Louis jumps out. You know, Yadier Molina isn't going to be playing until he's 60. And I think they covet one of the Jays' catchers, maybe all three. But there's lots of teams that want catchers. Unfortunately, if you think the Jays should be trading for Brian Reynolds, Pittsburgh isn't one of the teams that wants a catcher, because their two top prospects happen to be catchers. Not ready yet, but they're not about to be trading for a catcher. Could I ask a question?
Of course.
Is Fred McGriff a Hall of Famer?
Yes, the answer is.
He is now, but he's on the cusp. He's on the cuff for me, but I just, you know, maybe there are years that we don't put Hall of Famers in.
Does it bother either of you that the Hall of Fame voting process has turned into, I'm not going to say a mess, but you have Fred McGriff, who doesn't come close to getting enough votes from the writers, and is a unanimous selection of what I will call baseball's version of the Senate. You know, it used to be called the Veterans Committee, and I think now mm-hmm. it's something different, because it is different. But I'm not saying which one is right, but one of them's wrong. You know, I mean, if Fred McGriff gets less than 40%, I think, in the so-called normal vote, and is a unanimous choice on a second chance, I think something needs to be fixed.
Well, how do you fix it, though? These are individuals who make the decision, and, you know.
Well, I think you fix it with one way to get into the Hall of Fame.
The one thing I would say is that we've always commended baseball for, that we don't see in the others, is transparency, you know, and what seems to have occurred over the last 15 years is safety nets all over the place to make sure that guys get in. Catch-alls, you know, well, if he's not on this, if he's not voted by this committee, he's going to be voted by this committee. And that's the part you wonder about. Would you like to see transparency? Yes. Would you like to see one group? Yes. The problem becomes, Dave, and the three of us are old enough to, I think, to discuss it rationally, is recency bias. And the problem is that people forget how great players were after, you know, a 15 or 20 year period. And we don't understand how great a player was in the 90s versus what he is and what the guys are in 2015. You know, I mean, the three of us, we can sit here and laugh about it, but, you know, there are people that think the greatest moment in Blue Jay history is Jose Bautista's home run. And and recency bias plays such a factor in every level of all of this type of thing with Hall of Fames. And I'm not sure there is a way to fix it. I really am not. I'm not sure there is a way to fix it.
This Hall of Fame voting is all twisted, shall we say, because of Bonds and Clemens.
Sure.
Because, the writers keep inching towards the day when they might put them in. I don't think that's probable, but their votes keep going up. And last night, the Senate, as I put it, turned absolute thumbs down on Clemens and Bonds. So again, you have to deal with that problem that keeps occurring, should they or shouldn't they get in? Because if you vote for them, you're not voting for somebody else. And if you're right. denying them any chance at all, then somebody else gets a vote that they don't get. And until you deal with, I would say either put them in or just declare them ineligible. But how do you get to a vote, and who does that vote? I don't know, but it's the most tiresome. Why did I bring it up? Clemens and Bonds in or out. My goodness, we will get to a point where we don't have to talk about it anymore. But it affects everything, and it undoubtedly benefited Fred McGriff, because you got players on that committee. Greg Maddux played with him. Is he going to vote against Fred? Is he going to vote for Clemens or Bonds ahead of McGriff? No. Paul Beeston, paid Fred McGriff. And, obviously voted for Fred McGriff.
But what's interesting, David, is he was a unanimous selection of the Veterans Committee, or whatever they're called. He wasn't just a guy who got in. He got all 16 votes, yes. Right?
Well, and he's a unanimous selection because without a strike in 1994, he's a 500 home run hitter. I think he fell seven short.
Yeah, he did.
500. So the old standard used to be, if you hit 500 homers, you're a Hall of Famer. Now, why didn't the writers look at Fred McGriff that way? Well, I don't know. But some of them were voting for Barry Bonds instead of Fred McGriff. So the people who think Bonds should not even be considered are saying, McGriff needs another way to get in because he's not getting in that way. I saw an interview. This is a good line. I saw an interview with him last night, and he was asked, what was your approach to your career, to hitting, basically, and how did you do what you did? And he said, I told myself five good swings. So if I hit five homers per month, I'm a 30 home run hitter, and that's a good season. All I need is five good swings per month. Well, some months he had more than five good swings.
Yeah.
And if you reduce it to that simple sort of thinking, it's a pretty good way of relieving pressure on yourself, because, you go 0-10 or whatever in a 3 or 4 game stretch, you say, well, I haven't had one of my five good swings yet, but as soon as I do, I'll only need four more this month. Anyway, he was a player very much liked wherever he went, and is a popular choice, and should have received more consideration than he did from the writers. I just think it's a little bit silly to see such a disparity in the two voting.
I get that, but look at Schilling. Schilling got what, 70% from the writers
last year. His
only
last 40%. Year,
40%.
We have 40% of the veterans. The contemporary committee, or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Well, but they have no use for, some, these are supposedly clean players and officials, mm-hmm. Presidents of teams. They're not going to give any thought whatsoever to anybody with PED next to their name. And Schilling, you know, there are more reasons than that to say you don't want him in the Hall of Fame. But the writers say what he did on the mound deserves consideration, fairly strong consideration. So I think you got to balance the two. I don't think you can have writers who are thinking more about performance than these other committee members who are dismissing it because of behavioral problems. I think the Hall of Fame needs to, maybe you got to combine the two. I don't know, but and there's, believe me, I mean, we know that there's a problem. There's always been a problem with the writers' system, because you can look at some writers who, you know, must have been up all night doing something else when you look at their ballots. I mean, it just strikes me as odd that you have so much trouble deciding whether a player is a Hall of Famer, and you got two completely different outlooks on whether he is or he isn't. I don't think it looks good for the Hall of Fame.
To be honest with you, I don't have a problem with it at all, any way, shape, or form. Look, Bonds and Clemens didn't get in, didn't really get that close. They got in the 60s, I think, from the selection committee, and there's no reason to believe the Veterans Committee is going to let them in.
Oh, not a chance. No, right. I don't care who you put on it.
And look at the Schilling case, from goes from 70% to 40%.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a difference of opinion. And we live in a world where there should be a difference of opinion.
Well, I guess the reason to like the way it is hooray for the fact that Fred McGriff has a way into the Hall of Fame if you think he belongs.
Sure.
And a lot of people do. So, and they, you know, they didn't, it wasn't like there's an open door here. Don Mattingly didn't get in.
No, but right.
I think got 8 votes. Don Mattingly, what you guys have expressed an opinion on that, I'm sure.
Jay's, no, we haven't. We haven't talked about
Mattingly.
It was on my list here to talk today. What do you think of him joining the Jays? Where do you think that sits?
Well, I think it has all the earmarks, if you will. You know, John Schneider isn't the manager that the Jays hope he will be. They got another guy sitting beside him who can take over. Now, that's probably much too cynical, because if they wanted Mattingly as their manager, they could have gone out and hired him. But don't you have to sort of scratch your head and wonder if that had anything to do with his hire as a bench coach? Bobby,
I think it has at least a small part.
You can be more cynical than me, usually.
Yeah, I think it has a small part. Like, they understand that they have a guy sitting beside Schneider right now who could take over the club at any time if they needed to. But having said that, I think they look at Mattingly as they look at his character and his ability to be a leader or another leader, and a guy who was a veteran, not only a veteran player, but a very good player. And Schneider was not that. And whether that means anything to players or not, who the hell knows at this point in time.
They you know, he can help with the hitters if they could get him a left-handed hitter.
You'd think so. Yeah, you'd think
maybe he can. I was going to say maybe he can DH.
yeah, maybe.
But I mean, my first thought was I was too negative, I guess. And the other way of looking at it is, you know, he's not here to take over from Schneider. He's here to make Schneider a better manager and make Jays a better team. So
I suspect it has, you know, when you're hiring a bench coach, you're not paying him managerial money. And when you got John Schneider, you're not paying him premium managerial money. So you're probably saving a few dollars at this point with having Mattingly in that second role, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, Don Mattingly didn't resign from the Miami Marlins and say he was retiring, obviously.
Right.
But I don't think he resigned to wait for his big chance as somebody's bench coach. I mean, he's going to manage again somewhere. I would think in his mind he has aspirations to manage again. Does he think that Toronto is a possibility for that? And do they think he's a possibility? We might know, but right now it's whether you want to look on the bright side or the side that says this doesn't look good for John Schneider. I don't know which it is, but I think you have to consider both.
I got a question. We got about 5 minutes left, but less than that, really. Going back to the Blue Jays, if they trade a catcher, does it have to be for a pitcher?
Well, or an outfielder. They need
Would
both.
You trade the catcher for an outfielder?
Depends. In either case, pitcher depends who it is, but sure. I think your point is that their greater need is the pitcher.
Of course it is. And their number one asset to trade right now is a catcher.
I'm guessing that's probably
what they're trying to accomplish is trade a catcher and get a starting pitcher, not a bullpen guy.
Well, yeah, the bullpen is that's an interesting one too. The Teoscar Hernandez for Eric Swanson trade, and I thought Eric Swanson was pretty good in Seattle, but apparently the Mariners didn't. A, they traded him. Yeah, they got a slugging outfielder for him. But in five playoff games last year, the Seattle Mariners used Eric Swanson for one inning. And that was the 13th inning of the 18-inning game.
Right.
So if that game had finished before the 13th inning, Eric Swanson would not have pitched at all in the postseason for the Mariners. Now, I think the Jays feel that they've got Romano's setup guy in Swanson, and he may be that, but I have to wonder why the Mariners didn't make any use of him in the playoffs.
What you're suggesting, Hodge, is that the Mariners have now in consecutive years hoodwinked the Blue Jays over a pitcher.
I don't know. We'll see. As I say, Swanson had, his numbers look good. I've seen him pitch very effectively, and they had a deep bullpen, as we saw, so deep that they didn't need Eric Swanson in the playoffs. Now the Jays may have seen all the good things in him and don't care that the Mariners didn't like him as a playoff performer.
Yeah,
we'll see how he does. But as we said at the time, I think you can't say the Jays won the Hernandez trade. You have to wait and see what follows it. They save money, obviously, with Teoscar gone. I don't think the Jays are considering the bullpen as a priority nearly as much as, and this should be the case, as the starting pitching and the outfield. And the thing about the starting pitching is, they really need two. Everybody's saying you got to go out and get a pitcher. I mean, I think they have to go out and get two. I don't think you can.
I agree.
Think Kikuchi or White or, they don't have any more than three that they, bona fide starters. And Barrios has got a question mark beside his name after last year. So they got to go out and get two pitchers, a left-hand hitting outfielder, and
maybe another bullpen guy. Yeah, David, we got to get out of here. Time is our enemy. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it as always, and we'll talk again soon. I hope.
Best of the holidays, and we'll see what happens out of San Diego. I think it's going to be an interesting week.
Hear, hear. Dave Hodge back after this.
The world's greatest sporting event only rolls around every 4 years, and every 4 years, everyone becomes a soccer fan. That's right. Billions of eyes are about to fall upon 32 nations battling it out for soccer supremacy. The Men in Blazers podcast will once again be your guide to every incredible goal, every heartbreaking defeat, and every moment of human triumph. This is America's number one soccer podcast, bringing you expert analysis of every U.S. men's national game and exclusive interviews from a slew of athletes and celebrity guests all month long. This is what the world will be talking about. This is the one podcast that makes soccer fun and entertaining for everyone. Follow Men in Blazers on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or listen early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Our thanks to David Hodge for joining us. Well, we talked a fair bit about Verlander and where he's going to go, and he's gone.
Gone.
As
Can you believe that?
This, we have just been told that Verlander has signed a two-year, $86 million deal with the New York Mets.
With the mirror, so 2 years. The only thing that I would say is, for me on the Verlander side, is 2 years is better than 3 years.
Well, that's what I thought he'd get.
But to $43 million, Bob,
a year, yeah,
a year. I mean, as you mentioned in the show, DeGrom was at 37.5.
No, 37.
Okay, 37. I mean, 43 for Verlander. So let me ask you this. And I know I'm not sure there is a correlation between hitters, fielders, and pitchers. What does this do for Aaron Judge?
Well, that's what I asked during the show.
Yeah, I know, but we didn't.
He's the first $50 million man.
I mean,
several years ago, Dan Shulman said on one of our shows, I don't remember if it was the podcast or the radio program.
I think it was the radio program, a $50 million player?
A $50 million player. I don't know who he was referring to. I don't think it was Judge. But he was talking about a $50 million player. And we may see that this year.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Now, I'm not sure that you're going to pay a hitter as much as you pay a pitcher. I've always figured that pitchers make more money than hitters.
No, but so we'll give you a $3 million discount, and you're going to pay Judge 40.
Yeah, I think he gets 40.
Oh,
but I thought he'd get 40 before the Verlander signing. So that doesn't really change my opinion.
Yeah, I tell you what, it is absolutely amazing, because where does this money come from in baseball? I mean, everybody talks about baseball's on the decline. You know, the TV ratings for the World Series are down. Now, they've done a great job in the digital world of creating new businesses more than any other sport. But I'm flabbergasted at the amount of money in baseball. Aren't you?
The gates are
you're not.
Are really pretty good. And you know, you can't get a ticket for $2 anymore. You know, remember the $2 Dominion ticket in the outfield at the old CNE?
No, but it wasn't that long ago when Beeston returned that you had $5 Tuesdays or something, wasn't it?
That's gone, man. Those days are done.
Absolutely amazing, the amount of money in baseball. So Verlander signs for that kind of money, $86 million. The only thing is, you're only stuck with him for 2 years.
Well, yeah, but he's, how old is he? 37?
I think he's 39. So,
well, there you go. That's why. And he's a pitcher.
And he's a pitcher.
And there aren't many pitchers that last all that long.
Yeah.
I mean, Nolan Ryan pitched into his 40s, but effectively, but there aren't many.
Yeah.
And anyway, you're right. Man, there you go. Verlander, $86 million from the Mets. We'll try and digest all this information and come back and figure it out tomorrow. We thank you for watching or listening, as the case may be. For Shannon, it's McCallum. Goodbye, everybody.